SBS Radio. Vorige week woensdag zonden we het gesprek tussen Frans Warfemius en Edward Duiker uit, wat voornamelijk over zijn in 1987 gepubliceerde boek The Dutch in Australia ging. Vandaag deel 2 van dit gesprek met de schrijver-historicus. En dit keer gaat het over het boek Beyond the Dunes, een familiegeschiedenis dat geschreven werd naar aanleiding van de 60ste verjaardag van de vader van Edward Duiker, maar wat gek genoeg een veel bredere belangstelling genoot.
No, those two books weren't really the end of it. I should explain to the listener that Beyond the Dunes was really, the Germans would probably call it a Festschrift. It was a book that my mum and I did for my father's 60th birthday.
Oh, wow.
But we were surprised by the, the interest that we had further afield.
Yeah.
When Bill Bunbury from the ABC, or Radio National, read the book, he flew from Perth to Melbourne to interview my dad and did a number of radio programs with him, effectively inspired by that book.
Yeah.
And
meant to be a family history, but much more interest gaining.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I also see, because you have published loads and loads and loads of books and papers and studies, but to get the excerpt of the Dutch, I mean, the second landing, that's another title, Dutch Migrant Artists in Australia, that
yes.
You've published.
Well, it was done with the Erasmus Foundation in Melbourne. And it also Hendrik Kullenberg, the art historian, who was a curator at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. I'm not sure where at one stage he was in South Australia. I haven't seen Hendrik for a while, but that was really a collaborative work. I wasn't the only person involved with that, but I did write essentially the historical introduction on Dutch artists working in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I continue to be fascinated by Dutch stories here.
Yeah, and that fascination is ongoing.
But look, I have to be honest and say that at the moment I'm working on a biography of the French explorer La Pérouse. I began that 3 years ago. But I think it's going to take me some years to finish. My most recent book was a biography of another French explorer, Dumont d'Urville. That took 7 years.
Wow.
And my mum, it was published by Otago University Press in New Zealand and then by University of Hawaii Press in the United States. And my mum, who's turning 87 this month, has translated that into French. It's a book of 282,000 words, so it's
Wow.
quite an achievement at her age.
Yeah.
So yes, the French side is still it, but you know, so many of these French explorers visited the Netherlands East Indies, and the knowledge one gains in particular book like The Dutch in Australia, I learnt a great deal about the Netherlands East Indies and the connections between Australia and the Netherlands East Indies. And the Dutch presence in Australia is so intimately linked to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we could talk about that a bit too, I suppose.
Yeah. And so there's some other books to be published, but do you think you will go back to the Dutch?
Well, I have written also a memoir of childhood and youth, and that does it hasn't yet been published. I hope I will do that this year, but it does in significant part look at that experience of being half Dutch, half Mauritian and 100% Australian.
So what can you tell us about that?
Well, actually, Franz, it's a rather, Can I just also just preface this by saying that a lot of that memoir deals with some very, very painful experiences. I gave evidence to the Royal Commission on Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse.
Mm.
So, look, I don't know whether we really want to go there at this stage, but I will if you really want me to.
Well, no, that's a complete other story. That's a sad.
Yes, it is.
A very sad story as well.
It is. I feel more fortunate than many other people who have had that that legacy. I have been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. I was only 8 years old when I was first abused, as was my brother. We did tell our parents, but I think they had such a reverence for the clergy,
yeah,
and they couldn't cope with that. They didn't believe us, really.
Yeah.
They tended to minimize things in terms of, thinking it just simply inappropriate touching or whatever.
Yeah.
They were more troubled by the corporal punishment. There was terrible violence really in schools at the time, and something that didn't exist in Dutch schools, for example, or in Mauritius.
Yeah, yeah.
I coped in many respects through truancy. I didn't go to school, and ultimately, I failed my year 11. I had to repeat year 11 at school. That was, further along in high school, of course, but when you miss fundamental building blocks like in mathematics or whatever, it's very, very difficult to catch up, to
yeah,
cope.
Yeah.
I didn't trust any De La Salle brother. They weren't all bad, of course, but I didn't, because of what I had experienced,
yeah,
I didn't trust them. And when I had problems with my work, with my academic work, I didn't go to them.
Yeah.
I avoided change rooms and showers, and I didn't. In not playing sport, I missed bonding. It reduced opportunities for bonding with my peer group.
Yeah.
And school was a pretty miserable, horrible place,
yeah,
for me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I went to university that I blossomed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good on you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's a more painful story, one that I probably surprised you with, but it is. I was aware of my Dutch heritage, and of course, my parents were both Catholic, but one can draw parallels also with, say, the Presbyterians in Australia, who weren't really... They had to cope with this influx of Calvinists. Well, the Irish Catholics had to cope with Dutch Catholics and Italian Catholics,
yeah,
in that post-war immigration to within Australia. I remember on one occasion, Sister Teresina, Mother Teresina wanted us to make a whole lot of windmills to put on the classroom floor. Now, I was still 8 years old, so this was when I was being taught by the Brigidine nuns in 1963. And we all had to make these windmills out of toilet rolls.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes the digestive rhythms of the family are such that you can't necessarily put your hand on a toilet roll when necessary.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of asking my father what a windmill looked like instead of some Irish round tower with wings. With cardboard, we made this ectomolon with a cup and... But Mother Teresina wasn't amused by my very idiosyncratic but historically accurate windmill, and it stood there in the middle of the classroom wall with all these other Irish round towers.
Right, not to be recognised.
Well, anyway, I had a very strong sense of my Dutchness on that occasion. But of course, look, I heard Dutch conversation at, you know, with my oma. I'm not a Dutch speaker. About 98, the linguistic studies that people like Michael Klein have done, 98% of children of Dutch immigrants who also have a non-Dutch parent, they only have one Dutch parent, the language shift to English is about 98%. But even in families in which both parents are Dutch, he found that the language shift in the family to English was about 80%.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, and sadly this interview is living proof of language shift.
It is. And that is also a nice moment to sort of ending the conversation, although I'm very, very interested in everything that we're talking about. But looking at the spelling of your name and the spelling of your father's name, that made me curious that the IJ shifted into the Y.
Yes. Well, of course, as a capital, you could do that anyway. But he did anglicize the spelling of his name. And I suspect, of course, Dauker literally means diver, but I suspect it's probably a corruption of Danker, or maybe someone who lived near the Danekerk.
Right.
But I've traced the name to Wieringen. And
the north of Holland?
Yes. Well, what's now, I mean, it was once a West Frisian island, of course.
It was,
but, and
yeah.
Then with the polders, it's now physically connected to North Holland.
But, yeah.
And I have visited people still call it the island, of course, when
you go there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The name has changed, but I suspect it went through other permutations before that. And I have a dual citizenship. I have a Netherlands passport. So do my sons, and I think my grandchildren even.
Right, and do they appreciate the history of the family?
I think my youngest son more than my eldest son, and the youngest has been to the Netherlands, and he even went to Antwerp, where my grandparents were Dutch citizens, but they were working in Germany during the First World War as neutrals, and they married in Antwerp Cathedral. But he was even moved to go there and visited the school. We went to where my father went to school in Beverwijk. He was very interested. My daughter-in-law is from the Netherlands, so there is another reinforcement there on my eldest son's side.
And might continue even with the grandchildren?
I think so, yes. And I certainly hope that they will read my books in the years to come.
Well, that's very nice to end with, Edward.
Thank you, Frans.
Edward Dauker, thank you very much to be on the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Al. sbs.com.au